All right. Good evening to everyone. We're glad you're here this evening. For your visitor, we're very, very glad you're here and honored that you're here. I want to welcome everyone. Tonight we are going to talk about zeal, of course, but chapter 11, fuel amplifying your energy. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. First, if you would, let's pray. Almighty Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessings of this day, and Lord, you have blessed us far beyond our measured account, and Lord, we have failings, and we thank you for being patient with us, and Lord, we pray for those who are sick among us, and those who are grieving, and those, Lord, who are spiritually challenged, which sometimes is many of us, and we thank you for having compassion and patience on us, Lord. And we pray for your hand upon us and help us to gain wisdom in your word. And Lord, help us to be faithful and strong and blessing others with your word, Lord, that you may be glorified. And we ask for your forgiveness of sins. And please bless this lesson in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so of all the lessons that I've done out of this book so far, this one is really a challenge for me personally. And the reason being, it's kind of made me feel hypocritical. Amplifying your energy. That's kind of describing what I'm not many times. Is I'm the opposite. I'm anti-energy. Not I'm against it, but I'm just low energy, I guess. Or I borrow Donald Trump's slur on Jeb Bush for myself. Low energy. And I've seen that when coming through this lesson. So it's really kind of hit me kind of hard on this one. So, when we see this, amplifying our energy, is something to think about. Again, here's a verse from Acts that I've always pointed to. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And that's an important thing to think about. Let's declare the whole counsel of God before others. The main verse from this chapter is Colossians 1, 27, 29, or I should say verses. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. So, works in me mightily. When I think about this amplifying your energy, I think about these major music groups, these arena rock concerts, if you will. Use amplifiers so the music filled up. When I was young, a teenager, I went to see a Rush concert, the rock band Rush. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. And the music was so loud, I know it damaged my hearing, and actually hurt me internally. I mean, I actually was sore from the concert because it was so incredibly loud, shook the building. And I was actually sore for days, and I couldn't hear well for days. And that was not a wise thing on my part. But we're talking about amplifying our energy in that sense. In this auditorium, we have a microphone system that amplifies the sound of the speaker. So let's think more on those terms. What's more realistic? How we can amplify our energy. All right. So here's the important traits for zeal we've been talking about. These came from chapter 2. Courage without zeal becomes paralyzed. Energy without zeal becomes worthless. We can have all the zeal in the world, but if we don't have the energy to carry it out, it's worthless. A plan without action is not victory. Diligence without it, zeal becomes disappointing. Wisdom without it, zeal becomes deadly. Loving service without it, zeal becomes selfish. That verse we're talking about says, him we preach. We proclaim him. Think about, in a sense, we're shouting out to people, not only by our words shouting out, but our actions shouting out. We're amplifying our energy that we feel in Christ as Christians, we're amplifying that out and glorifying him. It's more than a positive attitude. The text says an active part of our character that requires us to expend significant energy. There we go. Isaiah 12:4. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. And we're talking about praising the Lord by talking to others about him, but by our lifestyles and ourselves. We are praising the Lord. We are proclaiming the Lord. And we are declaring his deeds among the peoples of the world. We are exalting his great and holy name. His name is worth exalting, and it is great. And that's one reason I kind of get irritated when I hear people say, oh my God, or OMG, as an expression or as a slur. I'm like, first of all, God is not talking about you that way. And we need to be praising his name, not using it as an expression. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Of course, those are Jesus' words out of Luke 4:18. And he's saying, he anointed me to preach the gospel. This is for Jesus, he's saying that. To heal the brokenhearted. When we praise God and people see that joy, that helps them with their pain. They see that we have that crutch that we can lean on in God with our shortcomings and our pain and suffering. And that helps heal us. And we know, I know you know that when we go to prayer to God with our troubles and problems or things about other people that we know who need God, their suffering or something, it's healing their hearts. And what a powerful thing that is. It's healing their hearts, and it's glorifying God in that. To proclaim liberty to the captives, those who are bound up in sin, it's cutting them loose, and recovery of sight to the blind. Yes, Jesus healed the blind physically, but he also healed the blind spiritually and set at liberty those who are oppressed. And we know that there's people who are oppressed by sin. Jesus is speaking in the verse. He's healing those broken hearts. He's proclaiming that liberty. You think about the liberty bell on it that says, proclaim liberty throughout the land. Here's proclaiming, he proclaims liberty to the captives in the gospel. So we're amplifying our energy to proclaim God's word. Let's look at what the apostles did in Acts chapter 5. Acts 5, 41 through 42. Now, if you got a question or a comment, don't hesitate to raise your hand. This is not just all me talking tonight. So please, I like participation. I should have said that at the beginning, but please feel free to make comments, and someone will bring a mic to you, okay? So they departed from the presence of the council of Sanhedrin, rejoicing they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. All right, so they constantly did these things, teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And they had this energy to do so, amplified energy. This isn't something we're talking about, a miraculous energy. This is talking about the zeal and the power that a Christian has to go and take forth, to get up and go. So they did not cease as they were focused like a laser beam. Remember a few lessons ago, I used the word that Christians should be a verb. We should be full of action, right? And I know it's not an exact use of a verb, but you kind of get the idea that as Christian, we should be full of action, a verb in motion. We're a living verb and taking God's word out. And we may not be the leader of the pack and do it. We may be the subtle person, the support person, but we're doing something and taking action to that. Our textbook says when we exert all of our energy and hobbies, entertainment, pursuit of money and comfort, a lot of times we're too tired to give God our best. A lot of times we're too tired. My get up and go has got up and went. Now, I'm dating myself with this picture here. Some of you guys may remember Timer. When I was a kid, I'd come home from school on ABC television, and they'd have these little things on the kids' shows in the afternoon, Time for Timer, and he would talk about good nutrition and things and that. So, he would say, when you get up and go as got up and went, I'm hankering for a hunk of cheese. And he was talking about getting energy from food. But sometimes we wear ourselves down so much, it's hard to stay alert during worship. And guys, there's times I've worked myself hard and come in, and it's hard to stay alert. And the older I get, the harder that is, you know? So there's times there is that. What are we doing about that? Are we measuring ourselves so we're not that tired? I know that's easier said than done sometimes, but I know sometimes I'll come up and I'll take a nap before Wednesday night service in my vehicle before service, and I'll do that, and that seems to help. Sometimes we do need to know we have limitations, and we need to measure our limitations and carefully plan. We must have mature priorities aimed at the heavenly destination. It's tough to budget our time. I know it is. Certainly nothing wrong with entertainment or hobbies, but what's our priority? It's glorifying God. And so, let's look at some of these energy robbers. I'm talking about energy from us, not from your house. Of course, TV is a huge robber. TV is, the idiot box can waste minutes into rivers of hours. You can sit there and want to watch something for 5 minutes, and 6 hours later, you're still there. Because it hypnotizes us into that. That's the nature of that device. It can do that. And especially if you're sitting in a recliner, man, you can sit there and you've wasted the whole evening. So it tends to do that. And it's so easy to get caught up in it. And I know I've done that in my own life. Sit there for a minute and all of a sudden, hey, it's 11 o'clock. I should have already been in bed. Smartphones are even worse. And most of us have one. Now, we all use them for things. There's Bible apps and stuff, and they're good. Send people text messages, and they're not in our living rooms. They're on us. They're almost like another appendage to us. And those things, I mean, people even use them in a bathroom. So how easy is it for that thing to waste our energy? Is there times we need to set it down? Yeah. And it's easy for that thing, we get a message, respond or do this or that, for it to dictate to us and not us dictate to it. And it's easy to do that. Video games. I worked summer camp this summer, and I kept hearing about video games. And I'm like, don't you kids ever go outside and play? No, I don't want to go out. It's hot, it's this, you know, every excuse. And I'm like, go out and play. Put down the video games. Go out and ride a bicycle. Go out and do this. Go out and play with your dog, you know. And get some energy going. Video games lure us in a false world of entertainment. There's a false world. It's not reality. And there's nothing wrong with imagination, but it does that. And it wastes our competitive energy. We get caught up in competing against a computer chip that we're not going out and reading our Bibles, and we're not going out and preparing to go out in the world. You know, we're not getting our battle cry sharpened. And sporting memberships. There's nothing wrong with going out and having a gym membership, and I'm not criticizing that. I could use one myself. But are we wearing ourselves out on it? I've known people with gym memberships, and they come home and about go to bed. So are we wearing ourselves out with it? So we need to amplify greater energy. When we get tired, can we get our second wind? And I know after 45 and up, man, that second wind's pretty important sometimes. So, you know, that second wind, can we get that up when something near and dear to our hearts? Can we go up and do that? Can we get that second wind and take care of that? So their textbook refers to our fight or flight mode, you know. And when that's activated, our energy is greatly amplified, and gives an example of David's zeal here on this slide. Psalm 119, 139, 141, my zeal's consumed me because my enemies are forgotten. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small, despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Or is our zeal towards that? Can it be improved? Yes. Can we spend more energy towards this? Yes. How are we going to do it? That's how we plan. Without a plan, there's no attack, and without attack, there's no victory. So how are we going to do this? Especially when you have small children or young children, you've worked hard, and you've done all these things. Like tomorrow, I know it's trash day, so I got to go home, take the trash out, feed the dog, give him his medicine, and then I'm already tired on top of that. And then I need to spend time reading some of the Bible before I go to bed too. So which one do I need to kind of budget for later? Well, the trash, you know? And so I need to be doing stuff like that. And it's so easy for me to get caught up in things. This can wait. David was consumed with zeal because his enemies, Israel's enemies, refused to respect God's laws. But David cherished God's word. He cherished it and loved the Lord and the Lord's wisdom. He loved the guidance it gave him. God helped David to recognize his own insignificance. He's humbled by God's word. He was comforted by it. How many times have we had something and it hurts us on the inside and we're emotionally hurt? Do we look at God's word for comfort? Do we go to prayer? Are we doing those things, spending that kind of time in prayer ourselves? Or even ask a friend who's a Christian, say, hey, will you pray with me? Or will you pray for me? Are we doing those things? And guys, when I say these things tonight, I'm not talking to you. I'm looking at this guy. Because I see things in here I got to change, that I got to do. And hopefully you look at this, these lessons that way too for yourself. And I look at those things for me. How can I have more zeal, more energy for God's word? We can turn to God's word for comfort and zeal. So we can do that. You know, think about a spiritual energy drink. I see kids drink all these energy drinks all the time. Okay? And I'm sure some of you guys do too. I don't ever try my energy drink because I guess I cheat and have a cup of coffee and some sweet tea and that's it. And water, that's all I drink. I don't drink colas. So I just drink tea, water, and coffee. So I guess that's my energy drink physically. But where's my spiritual energy drink? If we rest and eat and refuel for the day's voyage ahead, then we think about spiritually. Jesus had very draining days. He knew at times he had to rest. He knew it. Luke 8:23, but as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. But Jesus had to take a nap too. He was wore out. Because remember, he was human and God. Exhaustion leaves us vulnerable to bad decisions. You ever get tired and grumpy and just do something, make a really bad decision about something or say something really you shouldn't have said because we're tired? We should be careful not to overwork ourselves to utter exhaustion. And I know we're all guilty of that. And I know I'm guilty of that. Sometimes we need to be like Jesus and say, okay, I need to rest. There's nothing wrong with getting some rest. A power nap or a cat nap or whichever you want to describe it. Sometimes we need that. And I will tell you, the older I get, I have to budget those into my day. I have to budget things like that into my life. On Sunday morning when I go home from church, I take a nap. I have to. And then Sunday night, I'm fine. But that's just something I have to do. And I've learned that. The older I get, the more I have to budget those rest periods in my life. And it's okay. And we don't need to deny the body's need for rest. Go to bed on time. Don't sit up and watch that late movie. Get a regular schedule. Get that regular schedule. And schedule some me time. Okay? Schedule time to pray. Schedule time to just get your thoughts together, to meditate. I had a kid at summer camp who had a lot of anger management issues, as she said. And I said, what do you do for meditation? She goes, what do you mean? I said, what do you do to meditate, to get your anger down, to think about things and calm down? She's like totally confused. I told her, I pray. I said, I pray about my day. I pray about when I'm upset about things. Most of the time when I'm upset about things, they weren't worth getting upset over anyway. I'm a worrier by nature. I worried something terrible. And I find that meditation and prayer helps me with that. And I tried to tell her this. She's not a Christian. And I said, you need some time to meditate, to calm down, and just be alone. I don't care if it's 15 minutes. You need that. And I said, my time is in prayer. Sometimes I can be at home or in my truck, but you need that. And sometimes we just need to take a nap so we can get some better thoughts. Take a quick nap so our brain kind of gets some time, okay? And it certainly doesn't hurt. Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day, its own trouble. You know, as a Christian, this is a challenging verse for me. This really is. This is a really challenging verse. Tomorrow will worry about its own things. This is Jesus saying this. It's in red in your Bible. He's saying, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient today, its own trouble. So Jesus is telling us that. You know, put it all on him. Put it on his shoulders. He's got big shoulders. You know, he can take care of it. And don't be afraid to do that. So we shouldn't be afraid to say, okay, Lord, here's my problem. I'm putting this in your hands. I'm tired. I need help. I'm weary. You know? Now, what's the flip side of this, what I just said? Being lazy, too, is a danger. You know? I got Elmer Fudd there taking a nap. There's nothing wrong with getting rest, but being lazy is its own problem. You know? Proverbs 6:10-11 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. We're supposed to work, and God wants us to work, and he wants us to do things. So we need to balance these things out, right? And this is what this chapter is saying. Have our energy for God, budget our time, put our energy forth for God, get some rest, But don't let rest rule you, because it can. Rest and laziness can come over you really quick. You can start making excuses. Oh, I need more rest. We need to budget that. And say, if some, there's an apps you can download that tells you about your sleep and quality and all that stuff if you need it, right? See, they can be useful. Food, all right? I love food. It shows. Food is my comfort. Really, it is. I worry, I eat. And 4 years ago, I got on Weight Watchers and lost 60 pounds. I quit drinking sodas. I quit eating sweets. But still, I did lose the 60 pounds. Some during COVID came back. But if you're like me, food is a big comfort. And it can weigh you down, pun intended. It can slow you down, having the extra weight. And that's a battle I fight every single day. Man, if you sit there and there's a bunch of tacos, I guarantee I can wipe out tacos like an atom bomb, you know? And so I need to make sure that the food is not ruling me. And sometimes that battle, the food wins. So comfort. Food can be a comfort instead of filling us up. I read somewhere, sometimes when you get hunger pangs, it's water you need. Drink water, and that's what you really need is the water, not the food. And that will solve the problem. And sometimes I think that's right. So that's something, some of you may battle that. I don't know if any of you do or not. I do. I battle that all the time. There's times I say, I can't eat because I don't need to eat. Or am I praying about this problem instead of eating about it? See, I'm letting the food get in my way sometimes of my energy for the gospel and do other things. Nutritionists warn us of foods and sugars, processed foods and sugars. They weigh us down, they bog us down, right? And we get sluggish and slow and hard to go, and you know, so we got to take care of our bodies with spiritual goals. And this is an ongoing battle for, like me, I know it's ongoing. It's a fight I have to fight all the time. So you may your battle may be somewhere else or something else, but I just wanted to illustrate this with you. To as Christians, we're constantly growing. Christians, we're constantly battling something that's on us, right? And for me, it's food. I love food. So fortunately, we live in a day where we can enhance our diet with vitamins. And that's a nice thing, too. People in the past didn't have that. And food enhancements. And so you don't need to put salt on food. A nutritionist once told me, he said, you don't have to put salt on any food. You get enough salt in a piece of bread, light bread, for your whole day's requirements. So you don't need it. I used to salt my food. My wife would tell you, when we were dating, I would salt food like there was no tomorrow. I don't now. I don't. It's very rare I put salt on anything. Very, very rare. I put pepper on it, but very rare I put any kind of salt at all. Our bodies are to be instruments of righteousness. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God, Romans 6:13. Years ago, I used to work in television. And I'm not criticizing this person. I'm not going to say their name. But there was a county in Kentucky, and they were having a wet, dry vote. And they had this, a bunch of people bought airtime to voice their opinions about going wet against it. They were against it. And it included some preachers in the community. And one preacher came on and was talking about it. The man was so obese, you couldn't listen to his message for seeing him. I mean, the guy had to be 600 pounds, seriously. His clothes, I mean, he was just overlapping the chair. And in a production studio, we were like, what's the guy saying? Because the guy was so huge, his message was his body. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about food and things. Are people seeing that versus what's coming out my energy for God? Does that make sense? Everybody good with that? And that's where I'm going with that. Spiritual nourishment and spiritual exercises. We need spiritual nourishment. We need physical nourishment. We need spiritual nourishment, right? Anybody else battle some of these things? Like, or is it just me? Am I alone in the world? Anybody battle like something like that? I see people shaking heads. say something about that. Say something about this. I'm going through the whole lesson, no one said anything, and I don't want to hog the lesson. If I'm doing that, then please forgive me. If you see that in your life, let others know you're battling those things. They may be doing that too. And you can put heads together and work together on it. For a while when I was losing weight, I used an app on my phone. I still got it on there. I just got out of habit of using it. And I put all my food in there and the calories. I was counting my calories every day. That and getting rid of sodas and candy and sweets helped me lose weight. And of course, I was walking too, and that worked. I need to get back on that app, don't I? That was my phone was actually helping me in that sense, helping me lose that weight. So there's things like that we can use to help us get more energy for God. And we can make a plan. Remember, without a plan, there's no attack. Without attack, there's no victory. And so little things like this that we can do will help us go a long, long way in getting energy to do that. Now, I can't jog. I'm physically not able to jog. Even if I was skinny, I couldn't do it because I was born with a handicap and I have a lot of spinal pain. So I can't do that. I've never been able to run very fast. So I can't do it, but I can walk. And sometimes I do that. But we all have our limits, and we need to understand those limits and work with them. Does that make sense? And pray. What can I do about this? How can I do this better? It's so easy to come home from work and put something in or go buy McDonald's or go pop something in the microwave, but really it's not what we need to be eating. And if you got something like that that's weighing you down, what keeps us on that bad habit? Is it we're tired and fatigued, out of time? It's things to think about, right? It's so easy to think about that. I was a huge Dr. Pepper drinker up until I quit. I would drink probably like two liters a day sometimes. So I quit doing that. And I haven't had a Dr. Pepper in a long, 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 long time. And I'm glad. So, probably several years. And I will share a funny story with you real quick. I did go through McDonald's here last spring. And I always order tea or unsweet tea or sweet tea. And they gave me a Coke. And I took a sip on it and I almost threw up. It's been that long since I had a Coke. So it's kind of nice that I had that. Yes, sir.
I appreciate you sharing that. I like the title of this first little section. He says, Redeeming Greater Energy. And a lot of the stuff that you brought up, I think, for me, it's not necessarily bad things, but you just have to learn to control yourself. So a lot of it is self-control and prioritization of your tasks in your day. If you're waiting until the end of the day to say a prayer, or if you're waiting until the end of the day to read your Bible, then maybe you should realize that you have a little bit more energy at the beginning of the day to do those tasks. So, prioritizing those things above any kind of task that might take you off from that. And I think that goes with physical energy too, because I know there's days where I haven't done anything. And then at the end of the day, I'm still really tired. So I think you just have to realize the times of the day that you have energy and the times that you don't.
Exactly. Prioritize your energy levels and put that. And when you get up in the morning, have a Bible study in the morning when you first get up. You get up and sometimes take a shower. Sometimes I'll have that too. Or a Bible verse on my phone or something, you know. That's kind of a nice thing because it's quiet in the house. Nobody else is up when I get up. And that's a good time to do it. It's also a good time to pray. Yes, sir.
Sorry, I forgot. When we talk about energy, I think of, you're talking about getting tired. I think about the apostles when Jesus was in the garden with them, how he told them to pray that they didn't fall into temptation. And then he comes to them and they're asleep. And he says, what are you doing? Pray that you don't fall into temptation. And then he walks away and they're asleep again. So, I do think that we have to understand sometimes that our bodies are not always in our best interest, so we have to work to fight that lack of energy to try and serve God.
The spirit is willing and the flesh is weak, isn't it? And that's the case then. Like he said, sometimes our bodies are don't work to our best interest overall, and we can certainly understand that. And we got to have spiritual nourishment as well, right? Spiritual nourishment and spiritual exercises. We got to have that. Our souls require nourishment. And I think, kind of build upon what you said, John, is that when we get up in the morning, we have breakfast for our body. We break the fast. And I know I get up in the mornings, and first thing I do is take my shower, and I take my blood pressure and my temperature and record that. And I do other things first. And that's a good time also to pray. You know, we need that spiritual nourishment as well. We need to take our spiritual blood pressure and do those things. So it's really important to do that. John, 3 John 1 and 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. When John wrote this letter and said this, he said, may you prosper in all things as your soul prospers. What if their soul's not prospering? What kind of thing is John saying? That you may prosper as your soul prospers. Hopefully your soul's prospering quite well and you're prospering from that. But John's making a point here, I think. If we looked like our soul does, if we looked physically, would we be skeletons? Or would we be very healthy? What would we look like if we could see ourselves as that? You know, let's paint that picture for a moment. And again, I'm not saying this to you for you. I'm saying it because of me. And I think about that. How would I look if I looked what my soul looks like physically? What would I look like? Would I be a skeleton? Would I be sick? Would I be strong? And that's the way to kind of look about this. Our soul's got to have spiritual food. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. We'll be filled with it, right? Go ahead, John.
Well, most people, when they get up, they got to have that old hot water. And if you try to take that from them, they're a sad case. Now, that's just like me. I care less about that old coffee.
Uh-huh.
But now the cold drink that keeps me going, if I quit drinking them, I'd be just like, might as well put me in the grave because my body won't let me make it. So I've got some other things, food. Uh-huh. But when it comes to the cold drink, no. That right there makes my day.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many people drink this, that old rock gut stuff. But, excuse my language, but that's... if I take it away from my wife... Man, I might as well look for the graveyard.
I know myself, it's coffee in the morning. I'll have a cup of coffee in the morning. Not first thing, though. I do it, yeah. Well, you know, there's a few days I've done that, and I survived, but it wasn't as pleasant as it would have been with a coffee, you know. You're speaking the truth, brother, speaking the truth. All right, Jesus went weekly to the synagogue to serve God, all right? He went weekly. He did not miss that. He was faithful in serving as a Jew. He went to the synagogue, and he needed to be spiritually nourished. He went there, Luke 4:16. So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went in the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. This was his custom, his habit. He went in there and the synagogue to read. So this wasn't just an abnormal thing for him to do. He went in every Sabbath. And he did this. And he exercised himself spiritually. We have to do that as well. So, look at the master. He went in there and did that. John chapter 4, 31 through 5. Jesus doesn't want to stop working to eat. His spiritual goals and priorities. Verse 30, I'm going back up to verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to him, I have food to eat of which you do not know of. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to him, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. You know, it'd be nice to be focused like that. I'm not as focused like that. Nothing even not close to it, you know. If somebody sets food in front of me, man, I'm on it. All right? Jesus was spiritually minded on it. He still had to eat. He was human. He had to eat food. But his focus was where his heart is. And his heart was on serving the Lord and bringing the word of the Lord to others. I mean, spiritually fulfilled and exercised. He had his spiritual goals and his priorities. All right? So he knew what needed to be done. And I'm sure he ate his food later. And I'm sure he appreciated it. But he had his priorities. We got to focus on redeeming our families as well as others. 1 Timothy 5:8, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he's denied the faith and is worse than the unbeliever. We typically think of that verse talking about physical things we provide for our family. And it is true. But what about the spiritual things we provide for our family? What are we providing for them spiritually? Are we providing food for them spiritually? Are we helping them exercise spiritually? And that's, I think, an important thing to consider there. When we look at this, are we doing that? When we look in the mirror, is the person in the mirror doing those things? Am I providing spiritual food for members of my family? And there's times, yes, I do fail. And what am I doing about it? Am I praying about it? Am I working harder about it? Am I budgeting more time for it? You know, am I doing the things of the world? You know, your phone has a thing on it that can tell you how much time you spend on different apps on it, right? And that's kind of, if you look at it, it's kind of scary sometimes. Hey, I spent so much time doing this. And where was did I spend that much time reading the Bible today? Did I have that much time praying today? Those are the kind of things where I'm trying to get at tonight. Am I doing that? And I find myself fall short many times. And I'm not speaking about you again, I'm speaking about me. The bottom line, we got to use our energy wisely. It is limited. Our bodies can only do so much. We have to rest. We have to physically rest. We can overwork ourselves where it's not doing any good for God. All right? We do have to rest our bodies. We can stress our bodies out and get ourselves sick, and we haven't done anybody any good. Right? And there's times we do get that second wind, and there's times we do have to put in that extra part for the Lord. So we can do that. So what's our battle cry? Remember, that's from our last lesson. What is our battle cry going to be? Is it going to be for the Lord? How are we going to supply the energy for that? You know, that we have to have energy for that battle cry. So my question to you is, what do we need to do to reallocate our efforts to meet our energy needs? What do we need to do? Lindsay spoke up very well. And I mentioned that, talking about in the mornings, reading in the mornings and praying in the mornings. And that's a really good thing to do too. Do we give ourselves any time during the day to meditate on God's word? In the mornings, yes. What about during the day? Are we doing those things? And it's important to do. We can pray in the vehicle, and we can do different things to do that. What are you guys doing? This is a chance for you to speak up. Best practices begin by hearing from others.
It's one little thing that leads to another. It leads to another small thing that you do that day that leads to another goal that you set that leads to another. But, I use the word program a lot because I'm in several. One, I don't mind sharing this with anybody, but I'm in a program of recovery. So God, in my program, I'm in two programs, one in his church. I use that word because if you program, you're diligent about what you're doing. You set a routine. A guy that lifts weights,
he's in the gym every day, and he works more and more and more and more, and he gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So my faith has to grow along with, and what I put in me daily allows that to happen. Now, I'm quick to tell y'all, when I stop that, it's real easy for me to fall. And me get back in the church, man, it's a big part of everything I do in my life, because there's a whole lot of guys around me right now that have no idea what is taught inside this building. If you say church, they think it's this building. They don't understand that it's these members that make up the church. They have no idea. So the way I represent this body affects a lot of people that are around me. The faith I have, the language I use, my mannerisms, my temperament. And for real, being in the situation I'm in really makes me acutely aware of what I do every day, what I say every day, my actions, how I treat others. Am I quick to apologize for something that I did wrong when my pride is standing in the way of it? So I use, it's a big thing for me to get up in the morning and eight other guys see me sitting at the table praying over my breakfast. I don't do it for show, but you know, it's very important that they do see that, because I might be the only person they ever see do that, or ever see have any faith, or ever see pause during the day to sit out on the back porch to say a prayer real quick. Or the word higher power kept me out of them rooms for a long time, because it felt so blasphemous almost.
Mm-hmm.
I realized God had put that room there for me, because we call it the Big Book. It's a book I call Psalms. It was written off of Matthew and James. The 12 steps correlate with repenting. Basically, when you sit down and tell somebody else you're junk, Satan is kind of sitting down. James 5:16, confess your sins to one another, and then you give it all to God. You know, like we say, give it all to God in there. But here you have to, the other day I repented. I felt the need to do that. But if I hadn't done that, then I can't keep going forward, because there's a bump that keeps me from being able to move forward. So did a little exercise. I feel, man, it's bad. I feel closer to God. See, I've got to be able to take it when I leave where I'm at, to be able to and stay continually rolling forward, because sometimes when we get out in the world and things don't go our way, or people don't meet our expectations, or we catch a resentment. Well, it's real easy to. I grew up with a sick mother had Lou Gehrig's disease. I ain't gonna take all your time up. But what I see now is a blessing to take care of someone for 18 years. At the time, as a child, you think I didn't have some resentment? You think I wasn't mad about some things? But and honestly, I see it now as an adult and actually dealing with some of this stuff. I see it. But as a child, I didn't understand that. And when I say as a child, my mother got me pretty well big enough to feed and clothe myself, and I'm going to feed and clothe my mother. I was changing trachs and polytubes at 11, 12 years old. So it was there to have to be done. And I didn't feel that was fair. But that was a test that God gave me. But I didn't keep my faith at that time. I turned away. So today I'm aware of those things. Maybe I went through everything I went through. Maybe it was a blessing that I went through, because there's somebody else out there that might need me to help them what they're going through, because I give God all the glory today, because I'm able today to give him, to let it be his will, whatever happens in my life, and accept that and not catch resentment or let it get me beat down. And I go through all of it for nothing. So, I have a better connection with who he is today than I ever did. But it's only, you know, it's only because I don't know why, man. I don't know why I've lived through what I've lived through in the car wrecks and the y'all should have been dead 20 times. So
that's okay. I appreciate your comments. That's what it's about. Yeah. I appreciate your comments. I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you all.